Tonight we're going to focus on the last two verses, Jude 24 and verse 25. This letter that he writes and exhorts us to contend for the faith, he concludes with instructions on how we're to contend for the faith, and he concludes telling us where to look and who to look to as we contend for the faith. He says in verse 24 and verse 25, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." He's began the letter calling us to beware. He concludes it calling us to be watchful, to keep our eyes on the Lord, to look to Him as we contend for the faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessings on His Word tonight. Heavenly Father, again, it's a great joy to be able to begin a new week by coming into Your house with Your people and worshiping You, Lord. We're thankful for Your Word and the Spirit of God that ministers to us through Your Word. And Lord, we confess, Lord, each and every day of our life, we need Your Word and Your Spirit at work in our lives. God, we pray that these last few weeks that, Lord, Your Word and Your truth and the importance of contending for the faith and Lord, what You've taught us about how we can contend for the faith, that, Lord, it would truly be applied to our lives, God. Help us to truly be that witness for You, a courageous, compassionate witness for You in these desperate days and dark times. Lord, help us to truly lift You up, because, Lord, when You're lifted up, all are drawn unto You. And God, our prayer is that we might see many come to know You, that we might continue to grow in our walk and in our faith and in our relationship with You in such a way that others can continue to see, Lord, Your grace at work in our lives and the difference that the gospel makes in our lives. Lord, just remove every hindering force from this place here tonight. Touch our hearts, touch our minds. Help us to be open and receptive to what You desire to say and do. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Fill me with Your Spirit. Free me to preach Your Word. And Lord, we'll be careful to give You the glory and honor and praise for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, verse 17 through 23, Jude began to teach us how to contend for the faith. He called us to be warriors, to not forget His Word. Don't forget the Word of God that is preached and proclaimed, that has told us that in the last days scoffers would come. Build our faith, build our lives upon the truth of God's Word and the Gospel. Don't forsake His will. Keep ourselves in the love of God by building our faith and building our lives on the truth faith of the gospel, praying in the Spirit, looking to Him and His mercy and grace every day in our lives so that we might be merciful and gracious and loving towards others. And then, of course, He called us to not forsake His will and not to fear being His witness. That's one of the greatest needs when we are in this battle over the truth, when there are those who have a counterfeit faith and who preach and practice and promote a counterfeit faith, we must not fear being that witness, being compassionate in our witness, being courageous in our witness, and being cautious, not allowing the lies and the deceptions of the devil to turn us away from the faith, but help us to stand lovingly and Christ-like in the faith, which is all about what Jude has to tell us now tonight. In verse 24 and 25, he's calling us to be watchful. You know, this letter, this little book, it's great instruction. I as a pastor, I see it as instruction to me in how to pastor and how to shepherd the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the days and times in which we live, in a day in which the church in many ways is being affected by worldliness and by compromise. Yet Jude in his letter tells us how to contend for the faith. He's told us clearly where to look out for the scoffers. God's Word said they would come, and they're here. God's Word tells us to look in with edifying love and within the life of the church. See, I believe one thing we can learn from Jude is that we're never to treat weak sheep like wicked sheep. We're to love and we're to minister to those who are young in Christ. Build them up in the true faith, in the true knowledge of the cross and the gospel and what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary. But it also tells us never to treat wicked sheep like weak sheep. We must acknowledge, we must discern, we must identify those who claim to be Christians, and yet they're Christians in their own minds, not in their hearts. The evidence of their life reveals their lack of true saving faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. But we're also to look up. Look out for scoffers. Look in with love, but look up. Look up to the Lord and to God in heaven. Look up in confident assurance that God who saved us will keep us from falling, that He will keep us from falling for the lies and the deceptions of the devil, that He would keep us from turning from the faith, that He would enable us to truly contend for the faith. That's what the message of Jude is all about, and that's what Jude is exhorting us to do in these final two verses. He begins in verse 24 by saying this, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." He's telling us to look up. He's telling us to be watchful. He's telling us to look to Jesus, to keep our eyes on Him, and therefore we will not have this fear of falling. The word falling also is translated stumbling. You know, stumbling is always the prelude to a fall. You stumble and you fall. You know, I was thinking about that in the physical realm. The way to keep from stumbling, the way to keep from falling, is to watch where you're going, to watch your step, to look down. That's something I've had to constantly get on now for all of his life. Even today, when he's 25 years old, and when we're together going anywhere, if there's a curb, if there's a step, I constantly, it's just habit now. Nah, look, watch where you're going. He's always got his head in the clouds. He's always looking up. He's always looking around, and he stumbles and he trips and he falls. And so I'm constantly telling, pay attention now where you're going. Look where you're stepping. Why? I don't want him to stumble. I don't want him to fall. And it applies to all of us in our everyday life. If you don't want to fall, if you don't want to stumble, if you don't want to look like you don't have a clue what you're doing, you have to pay attention to what you're doing sometimes. I remember years ago, I had gone to the gym and was playing racquetball at that time, and afterwards, I gathered there in the locker room with the guys getting ready to clean up and shower, and it was one of the most humbling experiences of my life as I opened my gym bag to pull out my towel and found that I had packed Kayla's Minnie Mouse beach towel. Very humbling experience, because I simply didn't pay attention to what I was doing, what towel I placed in the gym bag. Folks, we need to look and watch our step if we don't want to stumble if we don't want to fall in the physical realm. Well, in the spiritual realm, folks, the Word of God tells us we need to look up. We need to look up unto Him. We need to keep our focus upon Him because He is able to keep us from stumbling. He is able to keep us from falling. You know, for the most part, he's had a lot to say in this letter about them, the third person, they, the apostates, those of counterfeit faith. But he's concluding this letter in the second person. He's calling unto us. He's saying, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, you from stumbling. See, he began this letter with strong words about the salvation of saints and addressing saints, and he's concluding with those same strong words and that same emphasis that we are the children of God, and therefore, because we have the grace of God in our lives, yes, we as sinners, we fall into the grace of God in salvation, but praise God, we'll never fall out of it. We continue to look unto Him. He is able to keep us from stumbling and falling. And so verse 24 and verse 25 is just one of those great doxologies in Scripture. It's just one of those great parts of Scripture in which the focus and the admonition is to look upon God and to be caught up in the glories of God. Because see, if you're caught up in the glories of God and focused on the grace of God that has saved you, guess what? There's no substitute. There's no lie of the devil. There's no counterfeit faith or witness of a counterfeit faith that can ever pull you away from the truth. It's just like in a home and marriage, folks. When the husband and the wife is caught up in their love for one another, no old girlfriend or boyfriend or any adulterous individual could ever tear them apart. It's keeping your focus on the one you love and the one who loves you with the greatest love of all. And so notice here in verse 24 and verse 25, Jude would just tell us, be watchful. Look to the Lord. Look up to the Lord. And he says three things, I believe. Look up, first of all, to the power of God that has saved us. Look what he said, verse 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Now notice he said, He is able, not He was able. A lot of times I think we look at God as a God who had power in the past, that His power is a thing of the past. But I'm here to tell you this evening that the same God that floated Noah's boat through the judgment, the same God with the power to bring the people of Israel out of bondage in Egypt from Pharaoh through the Red Sea and deliver them safely into the promised land, the same God who gave Jonah the first submarine ride in a fish, the same God who was born in Bethlehem's manger, who walked on water and healed the sick, is the same God with the same power today to save us and to keep us saved. He's not a God of the future. A lot of times I think we look to God as a God of the future and the power of God in the future. We look to Revelation and we see what God's Word says about the fact that He's coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's going to deal with wickedness and He's going to establish His kingdom. But I'm here to tell you today, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. He is the God who is able today. The God whose power has saved us is the God whose power is at work in our lives to keep us saved. He is the one who keeps us from falling for the lies of the devil. He's the one that keeps us in the love of God. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's praising Him for. In verse 25, he says, to the only wise God, our Savior. He's the one who has saved us. Remember, he started this letter and he said, Oh, I intended to write to you about the common salvation, but I had to write to you about this needful thing that we would contend for the faith. But he's just like any other gospel preacher. He's not going to finish without talking about the great salvation of God and bring glory and honor and praise to God, our Savior. He's the God with the power to save us. Paul's the same way in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul knew, Jude knew, all the saints of God in the New Testament knew. We today as saints of God should know and understand it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone that we are saved. That it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the power of God to save us. He is the God who is powerful, the God who saves. We ought to be like the boy who came to school with a stomach ache and his teacher took him aside and was trying to comfort him and trying to find out what was going on. And she asked him, son, what's wrong? My stomach's hurting. Well, why? He said, well, it's green apples. She said, what do you mean green apples? How do you know it's green apples? He said, I got some inside information. He ate too many green apples. And folks, when it comes to knowing for sure that I'm a Christian, I got news for you this evening. I got some inside information. When God saved me by His grace, He changed my life. He changed my heart. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not what I need to be and I ought to be. But praise God, I know I'm not what I used to be. I no longer desire. See, God fixed my want to. I used to want to do what I wanted to do. I used to want to live in sin. But now, praise God, by the power of God, I don't want to, even though I stumble and I fall into it every now and again. Praise God, the God who has the power to save me is also the God whose power keeps me saved. It's by His grace that we're saved. And it's by His grace that He keeps us saved. And that's what Jude is telling us. Look up to God and the power of God. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. He's able to keep you from stumbling. He's able to keep you from falling away in sin. He's able to keep you from the deception of this counterfeit faith and counterfeit gospel. He's able to keep you by His power. God acts in our lives when we sin, and He acts two ways. When we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9 tells us He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But God's Word also tells us in Hebrews that when we're stubborn and we're struggling and we choose a path of sin, that God also chastens those He loves in Hebrews 12, verse 6. He chastens us as sons. He disciplines us if we don't repent. 1 John also warned us there is a sin unto death. There is a type of sin, a sin of continual rebellion and indifference, that God would literally take us on to heaven rather than allow us to remain in a place of rebellion and hindering the work of God and the witness of God in our lives. But the bottom line is, Jude is reminding us, we have to look up unto God. It's His power that has saved us. It's His power that keeps us saved. We can't live the Christian life in our own power, but we can live the Christian life if we're looking unto Him who is able to keep us from falling, to keep us from stumbling, to keep us from being led astray, to keep us from falling for a gospel that would tell us God is now okay with our sin and we can live life the way we want to. See, God's able to keep us from falling for that. And we have to continually look up to the power of God, because as He goes on to say in verse 24, we need to look up to the purpose of God in saving. See, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and notice this, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. See, that's the purpose of God in saving us. The power of God is what saves us, and the power of God is what ensures the purpose of God will be fulfilled. You know what the purpose of God is in saving us? To present us faultless before Him. Think about what He's saying, folks. God is more committed to our holiness than we are. His purpose in saving us is that we would be presented faultless. Listen, He's not only able to keep us from falling, but I got good news for you this evening. He's also able to keep us from failing to reach the mark. The Jesus who died on the cross because we were sinners and need to be made holy is the same God and Savior who is going to ensure that one day we will be completely holy and able to live in the presence of a holy God. Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 26 and verse 27, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. He's talking about His church, the bride of Christ. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Folks, we know this side of eternity, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no man, there's no woman that is perfect, spotless, without sin, without blemish. And folks, that applies to the church this side of heaven. There's no church perfect and spotless without blemish. But I got news for you. We will be perfect and without blemish when God gets through with us. And His church will be spotless and without blemish. It's by the Word of God, it's by the power of the gospel, it's by the grace of God that one day the church, the bride of Christ, will be presented to the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells us in Revelation 19, verse 7, "Be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." It's a beautiful picture. See, every wedding ceremony, folks, it ought to picture that. There's nothing more beautiful than the bride on a wedding day in that beautiful white dress. I think of the wedding day for Julie. She made herself ready. And God knows I was ready. And what a joy it was that day. Folks, do you understand? That's what He said. That's the purpose of God in our lives, that He is going to prepare us and to make us ready for this marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you understand the joy there will be in our lives? We will be presented faultless before God with exceeding joy. What joy? The joy of the fact that having been forgiven of sin, freed from the power of sin, we will finally one day be free from the presence of sin and have the great joy of experiencing all that God purposed for us. No greater joy. Paul said in Romans 7, verse 15, "That which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I." See, that's the struggle we all face as we're living this life in bodies of flesh, where the sinful nature still has a beachhead. There's this struggle, there's this wrestling, but praise God, on October 1st, I was saved, I was justified by the grace of God. I'm right now being saved as He patiently works with me by His Spirit and by His Word. But one day, soon and very soon, I'm going to be gloriously, completely saved. What God has purposed for me will be fulfilled. I will be presented without fault, with exceeding joy. The joy to know that my sin has forever been eradicated to the point that now I can live in the presence of a holy God. And see, it's not just going to be our joy. It's His joy as well. In fact, the author of Hebrews tells us this, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, need to grab a hold of what that verse is saying. Do you understand what kept Jesus on the cross? It was the joy that He knew was coming of redeeming a world of sinners and experiencing the joy of the redeemed of Christ, the church, being made spotless and without blemish and entering into eternal presence. See, God makes us holy in salvation. Why? So that He can fit us for heaven. So no matter what person comes preaching, it's okay to sin, and grace is a license to sin. We need to look up to the power of God that saved us. We need to look up to the purpose of God in saving us. He saved us to make us holy. He died on the cross to remove our guilt, but also to cleanse us from our filth, to make us holy. And then finally, notice what He tells us here. Be watchful as saints. Look up to the power of God and to the purpose of God in saving us. And look up in praise of God who has saved us. Verse 25, He says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. See, we need to look up to God and praise every day in our life. Praise Him. To God, our wise God and Savior, there should be glory. What brings glory to God? Oh, it's accomplished by lives that are changed by the power of God. It's seen in lives that are seeking to be lived in obedience to God. You take the Word of God as a plumb line and you line it up against your life. And as your life is seeking to live in obedience to the Word of God, then your life, the way you live, is bringing glory to God. We should praise Him and bring glory to Him. And it's not just praising Him with our life, but I believe looking to Him and praise with our lips. He's worthy of our of glory. He's worthy of majesty. You know what that word is? It's used to describe the bigness and the greatness of God. Listen, He's worthy that we live a holy life. He's worthy that we lift our voice in praise. It's okay. In fact, it should be more and more commonplace. We ought to shout every now and again, folks. We ought to lift a holy hand. I remember being at a camp meeting one night and a woman was just having a glory fit over the gospel and what Christ had done. And I remember watching a man up front. He literally almost wrung his neck off trying to look back and see who was shouting. But see, I was sitting there thinking how sad it is that this God of glory and majesty, that we would think that it's wrong to lift our voice in praise and to lift our hands and to say, praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus, and give Him glory and majesty for what He's done. It's amazing to me that would offend us and cause us to be upset in the house of worship when we can go to stadiums and shout our heads off for pulling for a team or whatever, and yet we can't come to God's house and say, hallelujah. We need to be more praising of this God. He says, look up in praise to the only wise God, our Savior. Folks, our God is an omniscient God. He's an all-knowing God. And the Word of God tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's what James tells us. And we desperately need wisdom in the days and times in which we live. In a day and time in our nation, where a very small percentage of our culture, some statistics say 3 to 5% that are actually homosexuals and engaged in homosexual lifestyle, and yet they are literally turning and leading this whole culture and nation away from God. We're desperately in need of wisdom. But folks, we need to look up to the all-wise God. What is he talking about? The wisdom of God. Oh, it's foolishness to man, but the wisdom of God. Oh, the foolishness of preaching the gospel. It's just considered foolishness by men. But I'm here to tell you, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Praise God to the only wise God. He is the one who has ordained and through the gospel has provided a way that sinners can be made right with God, and the justice and wrath and the holiness of God can be satisfied. Oh, it takes a wise God to put together the cross and the message of Christ crucified, that we might be forgiven, made right with God. We need to look up and praise to the all-wise God, who is an all-powerful God. He alone is worthy of glory and majesty and dominion and power. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. God has all power. He has all authority. He's an omnipotent. He's an all-powerful God. And I'm here to tell you today, folks, His purposes is not going to be affected by votes and voters. He is not swayed by popular opinion or political correctness. He doesn't care about polls and statistics. He does what He pleases, and He's pleased with what He does. He's not swayed by men or their beliefs or their philosophies. He's a sovereign God. He's a holy God. He's on the throne, and the Word of God tells us He's working all things together for our good and for His glory. But we need to praise Him today. See, He takes the things that are occurring in our life and He works them together for our good. In other words, He uses them to knock everything off of us that doesn't look like Jesus, to make us more like Christ, and get us fit and ready for heaven. He's an omnipotent God. He's an omnipresent God. He's worthy of all praise and glory and majesty and authority and power and dominion, Jude said. Dominion speaks of the fact that he rules over everything. He's sovereign over everything, and He's present everywhere. Listen to the psalmist. The psalmist praised God because of His omnipresence, His being over everything and everywhere present. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10, he says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the seas, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold. See, the psalmist, he's looking up in praise to God. You know what he's saying? There's nowhere I can go in this life or eternity apart from the presence of God to care for me, to watch over me, to look out for me. Folks, we need to realize these are difficult days. They're dark times. They're people that are preaching and practicing and promoting a counterfeit faith. But we need to look up to the power of God. We need to look up to the purpose of God in our life. We need to look up in praise of God, for no matter what we go through, no matter what persecutions we face, no matter what we experience in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes, listen, God is always with us. He's always looking out for us. He's always caring for us. He's always providing for us. He's always working all things to our good. And one day, we're going to be with Him in glory. So we need to look to Him. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless with exceeding joy. Jude says, to our only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, for now and forever. Saints, be watchful. Look up to the power of God that saved us, because it's the same power that keeps us saved. Look up to the purpose of God. He saved us to make us holy, and He's not going to stop what He has begun in us. Look up in praise to God, to a God who has all power and all wisdom. He knows what's best. He has the power to bring it about what's best for us. And He's always present in our life, working to ensure that it will be brought about. Saints, be watchful. If you keep your eyes on Him, hear me, you'll never fall for the lies of the devil. If you keep your heart filled with the message of the gospel, if you keep your focus on the message of the cross, Christ crucified, you won't fall for the lies of the devil or his children. And with that, Jude laid down his pen as he said, amen. Let us conclude with a amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of the gospel. We thank You for Your word, for how You've revealed that truth to us. And God, we ask that You would help us to heed the instructions, the admonition in our lives, to contend for the faith as Your people. Lord, help us to be warriors who are watchful. Lord, that we might be used of You to help bring so many of our loved ones, family and friends, people in this community, to a saving knowledge of You. And Lord, we'll just thank You and praise You and give You the glory, because Lord, You're the only wise God. And to You alone be glory and majesty and dominion and power for now and forevermore. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's speaking to your heart, we invite you to come this evening. Whatever that need is, won't you come?